Ooh, it's a long time ago now, but who can remember what the very first song was that we sang this afternoon? Long time ago, yes. Good news, good. And we learned what the good news was, didn't we? What was it? Yep, good news, that. Yeah, that Christ died for me. Let's see if my doofer works this afternoon. Yes, it does. Because here is some verses from the Bible that tell us exactly what the good news is. Now, this was written by a man called Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he says this. He says, "Moreover, brethren, brothers, I declare unto you, I'm telling you exactly what the good news is. This good news that I told you all about, that I preached to you, which also you received." So he's talking to people that listened to what he had to say. Now, it's a good thing when you've come to the GNC and when you come here on a Sunday afternoon or whenever you come here to listen to what the Bible has to say. And it's very important to listen to the good news about the Lord Jesus. He says, you've received it. He says, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. I want to ask you this afternoon, and I don't want an answer from you, but I want to ask you from the youngest to the oldest, I want to ask you, are you saved? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Do you know, do you believe that Christ died for you? Because this is what he's going on. He says, I delivered unto you, first of all, he says, this is the most important thing that you'll ever hear. This is the best thing that you'll ever hear. This is the most important thing that I've got to tell you. And what is it? What is it? It says that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Who knows what sin is? I think if you've been coming to the GNC, you might know what sin is. And if you don't, we've got problems here. But who knows what sin is? Yeah. All the bad things that we've done. Yes, Matthew, anything else? It's all the bad things that we do, the bad things that we say, the bad things that we think, the good things that we should do that we don't. It's all sin. And you know something? It's like, who knows what getting into debt is? Who knows what it is to owe somebody something? You borrow something and you don't pay it back. Well, that's awful, isn't it? But you know, the more we sin, the more it is like we're building up a huge debt with God. And it's a debt that gets so big that we just can't pay it. That we can't pay it back, but it needed somebody to do something about it. And the great story of the Bible is that Christ died for our sins, but it doesn't stop there. It says he not only died and, see that, and that he was buried. You know, he really died. Some people don't think that he did, but he really did die. And he was buried. But it doesn't stop there. Because if it stopped there, it'd be really miserable. And Paul, in this chapter, goes on to tell you why it would be so miserable. But, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, just what the Bible had said would happen, did happen, and that he was seen. Now, amongst the people that Paul was writing to, there was a problem. Because some people didn't believe that there was such a thing as resurrection. They didn't believe that people did come back to life again, or that people can come back to life again. And in other words, that they didn't really believe that Jesus came back to life either. And so later down that chapter, he said, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." But you know something, in English, the way we say something can change it. And if we put something else after it, it might change it altogether. Because we say, now, is Christ risen from the dead? Did the Lord Jesus really come back to life again? Do you believe that? Do you believe that this afternoon, that Christ really did rise again from the dead? Because there's lots of people that don't. And he says, does it really matter if Christ rose again or not? Well, you know, when they went to the tomb on that first Sunday morning, all those years ago, they found something. They found that the stone had been rolled away, and they found that there was no body in there. So you think, well, if the Lord Jesus didn't rise again from the dead, what happened? Now, there were some soldiers guarding that tomb. Now, they were the first ones there. They were the first ones on that scene. They'd been there all weekend. And the people in charge, they were afraid because the Lord Jesus had said that he was going to die and he was going to rise again from the dead. He was going to come back to life again. And the authorities, they were afraid that the disciples would try and come and steal the body away. And that they would pretend that he'd risen again when he hadn't really done at all. And so they set some soldiers on the door. Some soldiers at the tomb. Now this was the story that the soldiers told afterwards. This was the story that the authorities told the soldiers to say. They said the disciples came and stole the body while we were asleep. Now who believes that? Who thinks that was a good idea? Do you, really? The disciples came and stole the body while we were asleep. Well, I'm going to tell you one or two things. You know, the tomb was guarded. Now, these guards, they all had swords. And the disciples, well, they had one sword between them. And you know something? These disciples, when they took a sword out, when Peter took a sword out, when they were coming to arrest the Lord Jesus, he was so good with a sword that he went to chop off a man's head and he missed and he got his ear instead. That's how good the disciples were with swords. And they were going to come and they were going to steal away a body when all these big, strong, strapping soldiers were standing there with their swords on guard duty. I don't think so. But you know, hang on a minute, they said, the soldiers didn't say, oh, they came and they beat us. No, they said, they came when we were asleep. But you know something? Soldiers aren't allowed to sleep when they're on duty. These soldiers, if they had gone to sleep when they were on duty, you know what would happen to them? They'd have been put to death, they'd have been killed because they weren't doing their job properly. They weren't asleep at all. Something else, you know, there was this big, huge, massive stone in the door, and it was heavy, and you've got disciples coming, and even if they tiptoed, and they came past the soldiers and they didn't want to wake them up, do you think they could have rolled away that stone without one of the soldiers being woken up? No. They couldn't have done it quietly enough. And another thing, the disciples were all too scared anyway. You know what they were doing? They were sitting in a locked room, with the doors bolted, with the furniture against the door, and they were afraid, they were scared stiff that they would be next. That because they were followers of the Lord Jesus, that the people that had taken him and crucified him would come and kill them as well. You know what really happened? What really happened was that an angel came down from heaven. This is what the Bible says. An angel came down from heaven, and he rolled away the stone, and he sat on it. Now this was a big, huge stone. And the angel was so strong that he didn't need any help. And he rolled away the stone and he sat on it. And you know these big strong soldiers standing there with their swords? They were terrified. They fell to the ground and they became like dead men. They were so scared of what was going on, of what was happening. That's what really happened. The disciples didn't come and steal away the body. But the angel came, and the angel rolled away the stone. And by the time that the ladies came, there were some women came to the tomb, and they came to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they were coming that morning, they had a problem. They said to themselves, hang on a minute. You know, we're three ladies here, and it took two big strong men to put the stone there in the first place. Who's going to roll the stone away for us? So that we can get in and anoint the body of the Lord Jesus, so we can put the spices on his body. Who's going to roll the stone? But you know, when they came to the tomb, they came through the dawn light, and they came and they saw something. The stone had already been rolled away. And they came, into the tomb, and one of them, and her name was Mary, she came to this conclusion, and she said, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. The authorities, they've taken his body away and we don't know what they've done with him. And she ran back and she went to see Peter and John, and she told them. And they came running, and they came to the tomb. And you know what they found? They looked in because Mary, she didn't stay to think. She didn't stay to look. She didn't stay to see what was what. But you know what they found? The grave clothes were still there. The grave clothes that had been wrapped around the Lord Jesus, they were still there. But he wasn't. The body wasn't there. You know something? If the authorities, if the people in charge were wanting to take the body away, do you think that they would have unwrapped him? No, they wouldn't. But you know something else? I believe that when it says that the grave clothes were still there, that the grave clothes were there just as if the body was still in it. But he wasn't. And what they found was that the Lord Jesus had gone. You know, the angel rolled away the stone, and it wasn't to let the Lord Jesus out. It was to show everybody that he wasn't there. Why? Because he'd come back to life again. The authorities hadn't stolen the body because they wouldn't have bothered to leave the grave clothes behind. They wouldn't have bothered to do anything like that. And you know something else? If they'd stolen him, when the disciples all went around telling everybody that the Lord Jesus was risen again, they would say, hang on a minute, excuse me. No, he didn't. Because here's his body. But you know, at no time ever did any of them do that. Because they couldn't. Because he wasn't there. Because the tomb was empty. Because he was alive. See that? You see, we're not just left wondering. They didn't just turn up at the tomb and look and see and were left to draw their own conclusions. They didn't just have angels telling them, look, he's not here, he's risen, he told you he was going to, and he has done. But not only that, he was seen. He was seen. And you say, oh, well, hang on a minute, maybe he was a ghost. Maybe they just saw his ghost. You know what? When the Lord Jesus appeared to them, that's what they thought. They were scared stiff. They said, it's a spirit, it's a ghost. But you know, so listen, he says, look, don't be scared. Touch me. Feel me. Take hold of me. A ghost, a spirit, doesn't have flesh and bones like you can see me have. You know what? They still didn't believe. They still didn't believe it was really him. And he says, look, have you got anything to eat? And so he took some fish and he took some honeycomb and he ate it before them. And he ate bread before them. And he had bread and fish. And he showed himself that he was alive time and time and time again for 40 long days. Wow. You know, they were in absolutely no doubt that the Lord Jesus was alive. Paul gives a catalogue of the number of people that saw him. He was seen by Peter. He was seen by the 12. He was seen, listen to this one, he was seen of more than 500 people at once. And Paul said to the people that didn't really believe it, he says, look, if you want to, you can go and ask them because most of them are still alive. They're all dead now, but they were all alive then. Or most of them were alive then and they could have been asked. After that, he was seen of James. Then he was seen of all of the apostles. And last of all, says Paul, he was seen by me as well. You know, that's an awful lot of people. Let's count it up. That's 500, 512, because Peter was one of the 12, 513. And all the apostles, and I have no idea how many that was. That could be near on 1,000 people saw the Lord Jesus after he was risen from the dead. And you know something, it completely changed them. What did I say that the disciples were when, after the Lord Jesus had been crucified? What were they? Christina? They were scared. Absolutely scared. They were sitting there in fear and trembling with the doors shut and the doors locked and bolted. But you know, not long after the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, 50 days, in fact, after the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead, you know what? They start preaching. And Peter starts preaching. He says, this Jesus is God raised up, whereof we're witnesses. Whereof we're witnesses. God has raised from the dead. We are his witnesses. God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before, even to us. He's alive, we can tell you, because we've seen him. We have seen him. And Paul says this. That was Peter, this is Paul. Again in the Acts, it says, God raised him from the dead. He was seen many days of those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. How many witnesses does it take for you to believe what they said? How many does it take? We've heard of 500 plus people that saw the Lord Jesus after he was risen again from the dead. He is alive. And so, our question now, is Christ risen from the dead? We can change that. And we can put an exclamation mark, and that makes it emphatic. Because now is Christ risen from the dead. I want to ask you this afternoon, do you believe it? Do you really believe it? The evidence is absolutely rock solid. In fact, it is the most well-attested fact in history that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And so, does it really matter? Well, think about it. If there is no resurrection, if the Lord Jesus did not rise again from the dead, and if you want to read some of this, you can read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says this. He says there's absolutely no point in preaching about Christ. There's no forgiveness, no salvation, no future, no hope, no purpose to life. And there's no accountability, no judgment for sin. Now, the last one might sound okay. The last one might sound okay because then we don't really need to feel guilty anymore if there is no resurrection. But think about it. We know that we do feel guilty. And we know that we have done things that are wrong. And we know deep down inside us that we are accountable. Because one day we're going to have to stand before God. But if there's no resurrection, there's no point telling you about the Lord Jesus. There's no point telling you that Christ died for our sins. Because if he's not risen from the dead, then how do we know that what he did was enough? How do we know that he can do anything for us? There's no point preaching Christ. There's no forgiveness of our sins. Because we tell you that the Lord Jesus is the only one who can save you. He's the only one who has died for us so that our sins can be forgiven. And there is no salvation. There's no future. When we die, that's it. When we die, that's it. There's nothing, nothing to look forward to beyond this life. Nothing whatsoever. And if there's nothing to look forward to, there's no hope. And so much of the life that we have around us, it is that there's no hope in it. And there's nothing in it. And there's no purpose to life. But listen, because Christ is risen, I can tell you this afternoon that there's every point in preaching Christ. There's every point. Because there is full forgiveness in Christ, there's salvation in Christ, there's a glorious future because he lives, there's hope, there's eternal life that starts now, there's a reason for living. But you know, the fact that the Lord Jesus is risen from the dead also tells me there's eternal judgment for those who refuse to accept him. For those who refuse to trust the Lord Jesus, who refuse to accept him as their Savior. Now that bit is the bit that we don't like to hear. But the rest of it is such brilliant news. It's such good news. Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to know what it is to have your sins forgiven? To have hope? To have a glorious future? To know what it is to have everlasting life? Everlasting life that starts now and goes on forever. A reason for living. An absolute purpose in life. So you can have it in the Lord Jesus, and you can have it because, not only because he died for you, but because he is risen from the dead, because he's alive, and because he can save. No wonder the first Christians were telling everybody, and they were telling everyone, look, he's risen from the dead. God raised him from the dead. We're witnesses of it. We're witnesses of this. We can tell you because we've seen him. I've never seen him. But I trust the word of God. And I trust the word of the witnesses who've told me. And because of that, my confidence, my trust is in the Lord Jesus. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and my salvation. What are you hoping in this afternoon? I asked you at the beginning, I said, are you saved? I'm going to ask you again. Are you saved? Because if you're not, you can be through Christ. This afternoon. Shall we pray?